Welcome to the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
Hi, this is Zoe Routh, and I'm here with David Ray from DPR Accountants and Advisors. Very excited to have Dave here with us. He's going to be a table host at our upcoming event, The Edge of Leadership, here in Canberra on the 28th of March, 2017. And you can check out all the details of that event at zoerouth.com and click on events, and it's all there, including Dave's bio as one of the great table hosts. There we go. Get it out. So welcome, Dave.
Thanks, Zoe. Great to be part of the podcast, and I can't wait for the event. It's going to be great.
I'm getting more and more excited, and we're still several months out, so I'll have to contain myself before we get there. In the meantime, you can tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do at DPR, and what's your background.
Sure. I am the head of financial planning at DPR, so we're an accounting and financial services business, and predominantly our focus is on servicing professionals and small and medium business owners and taking them on their life journey, I guess you'd say, from building a career or building a business through to when they ultimately exit that and into their retirement or golden years or whatever you want to call it. So my background was in accounting first of all, and came through the world of audit, which I quickly found just didn't suit me and didn't interest me. So I diverted into funds management for a few years and investing world, but had a second sort of change of direction when I found that staring at spreadsheets all day long didn't get me particularly excited.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, so I felt, so obviously I had an interest in numbers and financials, and really wanted to move into something where I sort of felt like I was making a bit of a difference and spending more time with people and getting to know people and actually having making a contribution and helping have a benefit to where they were headed. So that took me to financial planning, and that's what I've been doing for the last 13 years now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's cool. So with regards to social contribution and social agenda, what does DPR do in terms of contributions to the community?
Look, we take a broad approach, I think. We feel it's pretty important that we're not just here to, make money as a business. There's other aspects to what we do. Canberra being a small place in particular, the business community and the broader community is so small and tight-knit that we think it's important to be part of that community as a business and not just as individuals. But there's sort of three main areas where we've made our community contribution, and one is through sponsorship and support, mainly through the AFL community. So Peter Beams has had a long association with East Lake Football Club, and we've been a long-term sponsor there, and contributed to seminars and things where communication and financial education to players over the years, through their junior programs, then also through their seniors as well. And Peter spent many years on the board of East Lake, and more recently in a sponsorship capacity with GWS, who are obviously making the Canberra community an important part of what they do as well. Second aspect of what we do is pro bono support. So Ross Beams in particular does a lot of work in that area. He's a board member of Soldier On.
Oh, is he?
And provides accounting services to Soldier On too. So he's been there since their early days and has been pretty heavily involved in the financial aspects of what they do as an organisation. And he's also been a board member of an organisation called Global Sisters, which which is a micro lending type business a charity to women around the world. So for us, you know, the pro bono side of things is important. And then, you know, where I've done more of my side of things is around, I guess, utilising my social media connections and the work I do in that space to, you know, build a bit of awareness and a contribution for different causes. So the last few years I've done Dry July there, which...
How fun.
Yeah, which it's not the most exciting month, but it's, I guess it's something that's a bit of a challenge. So it does, it's a challenge for me and a challenge for most people, but it does from that point of view, it does mean that people can appreciate what you're doing and what you're going through to raise a bit of money for that. So, and you can, what I like about Dry July is you can specifically nominate where the funds go. And so in my case, it goes to the Canberra Hospital Canberra Hospital Foundation and goes to cancer support services there at the Canberra Hospital. So, you know, this year they asked me to be part of their video campaign. So, you know, got to tell a bit of the story on Wind News and through their weekly video stories they did as to check in to see how it was going, how the fundraising was going, all that sort of thing, and got to go down to the hospital and see where the money, you know, goes to. So... You know, so those are the three areas of the, you know, the community that we...
Those are really quite different areas. So AFL and Soldier On and Global Sisters and then the Canberra Hospital Foundation. What's the story behind that? So I'm always curious about how you end up picking a particular charity. What was it that called... Well, I guess it's each of you have your own little niche, the three directors. What was it, for example, for Peter Beams, who I'm assuming he steered the AFL one? What was it about that?
Well, he's, if you know Peter and Ross, you've got a pretty passionate AFL supporters and both been Melbourne-born and bred, it's in their blood. But the club in particular at Eastlake there, Peter's association came about when his son Daniel was playing football there as a junior and Peter coached the junior teams. And so it really led from there. And so he's a... always been a person who wants to, you know, give back, and so I think there's always with Eastlake as well, we felt there's been an alignment with, I guess, what we do as a business with our people here and what they do as a club with their players too. So it's, you know, it's not about just results. In our case, it's not about just making money, or in their case, just about getting wins. It's about developing young people and hopefully giving them, building their skills both professionally and personally, and making better people, I guess. You know, that's part of what we think is important as a business, and they do as a club. So it's sort of built from there, and Peter had an opportunity to sit on the board there and make a bigger contribution. So he did that, I think, for about 5 or 6 years.
It is a fantastic avenue to develop people. So I've been to the Eastlake footy final awards night, if you like, where you get to meet a lot of the young players who've gone through the seasons, both the men and the women. And hearing their stories about what they've actually gotten out of the experience is extraordinary. It's not just about playing football. It's about camaraderie. It's about leadership. It's about overcoming tough times, especially if they got smashed that season and so on, and building that personal resilience. So I think it's a lovely community support where you do help to build better people. I love that. I think that's great.
Yeah, it's the skills are much broader than, yeah, that's right. You know, if it's in our office, it's not just making an accountant. Mm. You know, you're doing a lot more than that. And the same in the footy club. It's not just getting out there and kicking a footing around. Mm. It's if that's all you're doing, I think you're probably failing in the potential for the role that you've got in developing people.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. So how did Ross pick Soldier On? Like, what was it about that particular charity that he gravitated towards?
Well, he had a connection there. I guess, you know, these things come about through a connection in something. And in Ross's case, it was with a client who was another board member there, who'd been quite senior in the army. And was involved in helping getting Soldier On up and running.
Okay.
So he had an opportunity to come in there, and he's been involved in in various different charities over the years, but that's just his most recent one. SIDS and Kids was another one in the past as well. Mm. But it was about a personal connection to start with, and then I guess being able to have the dual role of board member and being able to provide accounting services for the group too. Mm. So I think for Ross, he looks for, you know, it's a personal connection will bring him into something like that. So he's always, you know, within the constraints of time and availability, always wants to give back in that way. Mm. And when an opportunity comes up for him, it's generally around that personal connection.
And Soldier On, just for our listeners, Soldier On supports returning service people from the military integrating back into the community, or?
Yeah, exactly right. Okay. So it's in the main, it's the guys and girls who have come out of the military, in many cases dealing, having difficulty reintegrating into, you know, day-to-day life, you know, been through pretty, in some cases, pretty terrible situations and dealing with post-traumatic stress, you know, trying to come back and live a normal life with their families again, or back to get a normal job. And so they do a range of things for helping people build skills or work programs, even just social events, bike rides, and support services for all of them. I think it's a pretty amazing thing those guys do. When you think about the contribution and the service they give to our country and to all of us, but the mental burden they have to deal with in many cases, which can be for a lifetime in some cases. Mm. It's I think what Soldier On is doing is sort of filling a void that's not. There's obviously a void there because the government's not always able to fulfil that role. So, you know, they're providing a pretty amazing service, I think.
Yeah, and our servicemen and women who come back from those war-torn areas, they do need as much support as they can get. I mean, what they give up, what they sacrifice to do for our national cause is extraordinary. And they've got to come back and reintegrate into a completely different universe. That's fabulous. So how did you end up picking Canberra Hospital and the Canberra Hospital Foundation and Cancer Support? What was it about that you gravitated towards?
I think, similar to Peter and Ross, there's a personal connection there. And I guess when it comes to cancer, probably everybody's had some sort of personal connection with somebody who's suffered from cancer. So I've had, over the years, had, you know, a number of clients that have gone through dealing with cancer. You know, one of the things I do is make sure people have got personal insurance in place so that they can, financially deal with going through that. But there's obviously, there's a huge personal burden and strain as well when you're going through those things. And I had a sister-in-law who went through that as well and saw the difficulty of dealing with young kids and all of that. So for me, cancer is something that, I felt like I could just do something a bit more. You know, I think I always think having been brought up in a stable, loving family and getting a good education and having a good job, you know, you're in a fortunate position, and there's lots of people who are far less fortunate, and in many or most cases, it's not by choice, it's sometimes bad luck, and cancer, you know, no doubt is bad luck that comes around from that. So for me, there was, you know, those reasons that meant that I chose cancer. And when I thought about Dry July, it was a bit of a selfish reason as well. You get a personal health benefit. You feel a lot better from doing it. But there was a bit of a challenge there to go through a whole month without. Mm. Without having any alcohol, but at the same time, I sort of reminded myself during the month that I do it that it's nothing compared to what you think about what you have to go through if you're dealing with cancer. You know, just thinking you can't have a drink on a Friday night is nothing. So, and getting to, you know, it was good to go down to Canberra Hospital and have a look at, you know, where the money actually goes that you're raising, and it's just, you know, some of it's really simple stuff. It's buying some nice coffee cups, or a lady who comes in and plays harp for the patients who are in there for, you know, which is really relaxing for the patients who are in there, or new blankets, you know, things that you don't even think they would need, or you'd think the hospital would just be supplying this kind of stuff. And, you know, there's not money for everything. So they're able, to do a lot of things that do make a difference to the people that have to spend a lot of time in the hospital there, and particularly the kids, PlayStations and those things for them, that put a smile on their face.
It helps, because cancer sucks. I mean, I had cancer in 2005, and it was 4 months of not very pleasant experience. So where you talk about not drinking, it felt like after my chemo rounds, it felt like 10 days of a hangover. So it didn't make me want to drink anything during that phase, that's for sure. And when we went through that, my husband and I, we were very grateful for all the generous people who showed up in our world, through places like the ACT Cancer Council, etc., just giving us support in a number of different ways.
Yeah.
Anything from just checking in to doing home visits. And in the hospital, I had similar experiences. There was a lovely man who came around and did like hand massages. Like, I was in the hospital all day on a drip for my treatment, and it's a long, bloody time. So those little things do make a huge difference in terms of helping you just deal with what you're dealing with. And also for the families who come in as well.
So,
cancer is pervasive and insidious, and we've had a lot in our family. My sister, my dad, my mother-in-law, more recently my father-in-law. He spent a good 2 weeks in the hospital this year.
Yeah.
And then with chemo and stuff. So there's no shortage of people who need this kind of service, and that little touch of humanity makes such a big difference, doesn't it?
Absolutely. As you say, it's just things that when you haven't seen someone go through it, you think it's little and you don't think it makes much difference. But when you hear the stories of yours, the stories about how much easier it makes for someone's day just to get a little thing,
that's what
makes it worthwhile. Yeah.
It is just that little gesture of kindness of somebody you don't even know reaching out to is really lovely. And I think that's why business people get involved in charities and community programs, because of that sense of how good it feels to do something nice for somebody else.
Yeah.
And you're right. I'm in business, you're in business, and we're not in business just to make a buck. We're here to make a difference in whatever avenue you, through your financial planning, through leadership development and so on. And if we can use our businesses for even better good by helping other businesses, like other social services, community agencies, do good for the community, that ripple effect is awesome.
Yeah, and I think, you're doing good things for the community and other people, whether it's individually or as a business, that comes back. I think it eventually comes around, and I think more and more these days, I think people appreciate and like businesses that do good, I guess. It's not...
absolutely. There is definitely a karma effect, and... If I had a choice between two business providers and one I could see does a big, big contribution to the community, I want to go to them, because it shows the spirit of giving. So I think there is a positive karma effect in that. If you demonstrate that you're a giving person, other people want to be part of that, and it inspires other people to be more giving as well.
Yeah. I think in one space where I work is the investment space, and more listed businesses or potential investments, the companies that are taking an approach that's broader than just making as much profit as they can, the ones that are taking into considerations environmental or social or ethical concerns are getting rewarded by shareholders. So it's the ones that aren't just disregarding all of those aspects of the world. It's the ones that are making a positive contribution that are getting rewarded. So
they call it one of the things they call it is conscious capitalism, so that in doing business you can also do good in the world. And I know that Sir Richard Branson set up, is it the B plan or Plan B? I always get it wrong. Do you know this organization?
B Corp? Is there a
is it B Corp or B Plan? Plan B. It's about businesses around the globe committing to make a difference to the triple bottom line. So,
yeah.
And it's about how you can, as a business, make a big difference in all the big social, planetary, environmental issues that we've got. So it's about galvanizing the power of business to make a positive difference. So even on the international scale, it's happening, let alone local businesses.
Yeah, I think, and more and more, you know, big companies are feeling the effect of that as well. And it might be from something as extreme as making sure that, you know, the company doesn't use any child labor anywhere or underpay, you know, overseas workforces and those kind of things, to just, in some cases, it might be environmental around, you know, not doing things that, you know, damage the earth, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
So it's a trend that's only continuing in businesses, big and small, I think. Yeah.
Absolutely. I had a conversation with a friend last week who said that she wasn't going to buy any more particular brand of chocolate because it had palm oil in it. And I said, well, what's the deal with palm oil? She goes, well, palm oil, they knock down the Amazon forest, and therefore if you're eating that chocolate, you're destroying the Amazon forest. I'm like, okay then. So people are making very deliberate, conscious choices about the products and services that they use, and are they having a positive effect or a negative effect on the globe?
Mm. Yeah, I think it's an area that is growing in the investment world, and some people, you know, don't want to invest in things that don't align with their values. So
yeah.
It's, you know, it might be tobacco, or it might be gambling, or you know, so exclude things that don't align with their values, or the other way to invest is focusing purely on those companies that do make a positive contribution to the world. So the ones that are out there to you know, have an environmental benefit, or they're in the education space, or you know, those kind of things, or their, you know, their mission is to alleviate poverty, or, you know, have community benefits, those kind of things that aren't just the profit motive.
So in your conversations with your clients around what investments they should make, is that coming up more and more about they want to invest only in ethical companies, or one that have a for-purpose aspect to them?
It's definitely growing. It's I was recently at a conference, a responsible investment conference, which was around this very topic. And traditionally, I think most financial advisors or investment advisors and brokers haven't really discussed it with their clients. But more and more, it's starting to go in that direction, and I'm starting to have those conversations where, when you don't ask that, people just invest their, you know, portfolio, their super. Goes into direct stocks or into funds, and most people don't really know where those are being invested.
Mm-hmm.
And often, you know, there's many big companies without naming them that are involved in gambling or tobacco or alcohol and those kind of things. But when you sit down and ask people if they'd have a preference to avoid those, I actually put a survey out as I was speaking at this conference. So I just wanted to gauge from my connections what it was like, and 70% of people actually said they'd prefer not to invest in tobacco.
Oh, yeah.
And 50% said they'd prefer not to invest in gambling, whereas the majority of, you know, broad-based investment funds have both of those in them.
Wow.
International share funds typically invest in the big tobacco companies, or in Australia you've got poker machines and casinos are big listed stocks in Australia. So most people do actually have those.
And you're not aware of it even.
No, so I was interested to see that 50% would prefer not to invest in gambling, yet probably most of those people do already. So I think that's definitely a growing trend where people haven't had that awareness of where their money's invested, but there's a growing thing to say, well, if I've got a particular, you know, values and live a particular way and support particular causes, maybe I start to care where my money's invested to make sure that that's aligned with all of that.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah. Makes me want to go home and review what's happening in my super. Oh. So when it comes to leadership, so we've talked about leadership in the community. What's your perspective on leadership?
Look, I think there's a few key areas that I really like to look for in leadership, and one is a leader who inspires other people, and that, you know, from a personal point of view, that's what I've always looked for, whether that's someone, you know, within our organisation or wherever I've worked in the past, and in the broader community and business world. You know, for me, I get motivation if I'm inspired. So somebody who's out there and is innovating or taking risks to tread a path that's a bit different, and they're not afraid to go in a direction where they run the risk of criticism. I think probably one of the most inspiring stories I've read in recent times was Elon Musk's autobiography.
It's an awesome book.
And yeah, I mean, today he's considered, you know, just a visionary and an incredible businessman with Tesla and what he's doing in solar space and the roof tiles that are coming and all those sort of things. But when you read about his story and the number, you know, when he was first going down the paths that he did, the people that he was, the people that said he was crazy and the risks that he had to take to do that. I mean, he's a guy who had a vision for what he believed in, and he's been shown, you know, to date, shown to be correct on that. But a lot of people, you know, back in those times thought he was crazy. It's easy to look now and go, wow, he's doing a great thing. But when he was starting out and investing money in electric cars and or SpaceX and flying to Mars, and I think that's somebody who's inspirational, taking risks and not you know, which is a really, really, really difficult thing to do, not getting knocked down when you get criticised. So those are the kind of things that I look for.
I think that's a lovely example to highlight also about a for-purpose business. And Tesla has not hidden at all its agenda of eliminating fossil fuels as a source of power, particularly with motor vehicles, and integrating its solar-powered system into powering its vehicles. It's extraordinary. So if he can leverage that out across the globe, it'll transform one of our key problems we've got as a planet. Talking about inspiration.
Yeah.
That's in spades for sure.
Spot on. I mean, a business that's worth plenty, but you're right. His mission was to, was environmental. It was about changing the world. It was about not having the reliance on fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing.
So whether we're Elon Musk or doing our own thing in our own business, we can still make a positive effect. Dave, thank you so much for sharing your story today. I really appreciate it. I've enjoyed the conversation. And you'll get a chance to meet Dave if you come along to the Edge of Leadership next year on the 28th of March. And you can have a look at the show notes where I've got the transcript of the podcast. You can go to zoerauth.com/podcast/Dave and the transcript will be there. And I'll put a link also to the Elon Musk's book and also the Wait But Why site, which has got a nice series of articles on Elon if you want some mega inspiration. So, Dave, thank you so much.
Thanks, Zoe. It's been great, and I'm really looking forward to the to your conference. I think it's something that's been missing in Canberra. We haven't had anything of the broad range of topics you'll be covering, and I think you've got an amazing special guest as well in Fox.
Dr. Fox. The Fox is coming. Absolutely. It's going to be a great day. So thanks very much. I look forward to seeing you then.
Thanks, Zoe.